It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. He's called America's greatest storyteller. More than 100 million copies of books sold, setting a record as the first author to do it, according to Publishers Weekly. And now, after penning hundreds of crime novels and thrillers, James Patterson pays tribute to the talented booksellers and librarians in his latest read. And you can be part of this salute to people who work in the stacks. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. James Patterson's book is called The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians, True Stories of the Magic of Reading. James, what an honor. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
I'm honored. This is great. And I love doing this. I love putting the book together. You know, I started this kind of series of nonfiction. A friend of mine, Matt Eversman. Matt was the actual sergeant who was portrayed in the movie Black Hawk Down. And he's really great at interviews, at getting people to talk. And our mission, we did one on ER nurses, and we're doing one on teachers now. But our mission with this was that if you are a librarian or you are a bookseller, you'd say Eversman and Patterson got it exactly right. And how could we not? Because it's all based on interviews that we cut down into these 5 or 6 page chapters. So that and the other part of it is, if you thought you understood what librarians and booksellers do, you're in for a big surprise, because it's not what you think it is, which is, I think that's a real fun part of the book.
And it's these really cool vignettes, little glimpses, little stories that you peek into the lives of booksellers and librarians. How did you choose who to feature in this book?
The publisher helped a lot in terms of Little Brown reaching out to people who they thought would be pretty good interviews. So we started there, and then I don't know, we did 100 and a quarter, something like that, interviews. And then, as I say, you take these, the interviews themselves would not have been a good book. But taking those down and then cutting them into these 5 or 6 pages, where you get a sense for that human being, that person, that bookseller, that librarian. And that's where The Secret Lives comes from, which is, there's a little bit of a wink in that, which is kind of fun. Librarians, and they like the title because it's fun. And a lot of these people, they are fun. I mean, I do a lot of speaking engagements, and some of the best are big groups of either librarians or booksellers, because they get my jokes, they get the literary references. It's very cool. Very nice.
It's all in the family. You've really tried to boost independent booksellers, we hear bits and pieces of that effort in this, from the mouths of booksellers in Utah and in California. Why support indie booksellers?
Why not? why would I not? I mean, the bigger question is, why wouldn't you? Of course I would. I'll tell you what, my mother and grandmother get all the kudos here, because their thing was, go out and help. My grandmother was big on, she had a very small restaurant, and she would give away a lot of free food over the weekend to people that needed free food. My mother was a teacher, taught in a Catholic school, so she made nothing. They paid her in change. It wasn't even big enough to have dollar bills. But she also was a librarian on the weekend. My 3 sisters and I, we grew up on leftovers and every weekend we were in the library. But they're the ones that got me interested in this and interested in giving back. And I don't go into this that much, but my family, we've given over $150 million now. And everything that we have, ultimately, half of it will go to literacy and teachers. We have a big thing, actually, at University of Wisconsin. We have a lot of scholarships there. And we have a program which I love. It was Wisconsin's idea. And what it is, it's for people who are going to be teachers. And the deal is that if you go to Wisconsin, if you teach in Wisconsin, that first year, we will forgive 1/3 of your student debt. Second year, another third. Third year, another. So if you teach in Wisconsin for 3 years, your student debt is gone. And that's great for the kids. It's great for the University of Wisconsin. And it's great for the state, because the state is benefiting from that. And I love that kind of very pragmatic close the circle kind of thing where everybody is benefiting from it. So we love that. But that's what we do. And that's a lot of what this, I will not earn one penny off of this book. Everything will go back. Nothing. I won't earn anything. So yeah, I mean, who cares? But that's kind of my deal.
Talking with author James Patterson, newest book, The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. You can call in questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. James, several booksellers talk about the relationships they have with authors, and you know this firsthand, I'm sure. I mean, one Florida bookseller talks about how author Brad Meltzer always makes special trips to her bookstore, you know, how they got to know each other's families. How does that relationship, you know, work between author and bookseller?
Well, it's really all over the lot. And some booksellers, Chris Grabenstein, who I've done a bunch of kids' books with, he must go to about 50 a year. I don't do that as much. I did a lot more in the beginning. And, you know, and I actually remember the first one I ever did. It was way back, and it was at in the World Trade Center, which is weird. There was a Borders, I think, in the basement there. And they had about 100 books sitting in there, and nobody came. It was just my girlfriend at the time. And she just sat across the table from me when we pretended that I was signing her book and stuff. So it wouldn't be true. I mean, and that was the reality. That was the first one. Memorable. Never forgot that one. I remember going, this was an official signing, but I went to one store, and it was a drop-in signing. They knew I was coming. And they're like, oh, my God, James, this is so cool. And we're slapping fives and slapping high fives going back through the store. And they go, we got hundreds of your books in the back to sign. And I go back to the back of the store, and they have them laid out on tables. Richard North Patterson books. So I signed them. Yeah.
Hey, you know, you do what you have to do. You know, well, there is a famous author, Judy Blume, I want to bring up, featured bookseller.
Yeah. Judy's in the book. Yeah.
Yeah. And talks about how that, becoming a bookseller in Key West. What did you learn from Judy's story? What did you take away from it?
One, just the honor of having her in the book, which is great. You know, part of it is at a certain point, she really didn't want to write too much or write at all. And she needed a kind of a second life. And she kind of decided she wanted to start the store. And she says she goes to the store pretty much every day and she loves it. She loves going there. She loves, you know, meeting the people that come in. She loves working with the staff. And she's not a fool about it. I mean, she's very pragmatic. She'll tell the staff, we have to sell books. If we don't sell books, we can't stay open. If we don't sell books, you can't get paid, you know, which is good. I mean, it's a good thing to have both the high-minded thing of, you know, hand selling and we're going to make the world a better place. But also, you know, we need to survive, which is a very real problem. And everybody in bookstores, you know, needs to understand that, and some do and some don't.
She brings up, it's really interesting, and I'd never really thought about it, but how booksellers sometimes have to return books that don't sell. As a writer, you never want to return anybody's book. So sure. She feels that to her heart. I mean, what don't we understand about book inventory?
I would have no problem with that. That's fine. You know, you open the door to them, you do your best, but you have to have a business. You have to send them back. It's like, you know, if you have a gallery, and, you know, some of these paintings aren't selling. Well, it's not like you didn't want them to sell. You want them to sell, but they just aren't. People are coming in. And so you have to, you know, have to go in with new artists. It's just the way life works, unfortunately.
Part of the business. We have prolific author James Patterson with us, sharing his gratitude for the people who match all kinds of readers with books that they'll devour. His latest read is called The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. You can be part of this conversation. Call in with a question, add your perspective, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with bestselling author James Patterson is here. His thrillers sell millions of copies a year. Latest book could be considered a passion project. It shines a light on booksellers and librarians who Patterson describes work long hours to keep reading alive and get little recognition in return. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share thoughts. 800-642-1234. Patterson's book is called The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. And we have Chelsea in Hartford, who is a librarian. Chelsea, hi.
Hi. First of all, just want to say, huge fan of James Patterson. I'm so into your nonfiction books, and I'm really excited to read this new one. But as an outreach librarian, I am spending hours of my day driving around our community in Hartford and delivering books to the senior community. And every week, I check out at least 20 of James Patterson's books, the series. I have an individual who's read all of your series, and he's now working on your nonfiction books right now. And I'm so just super excited to have you in this morning on NPR.
Oh.
Really enjoyable as I'm sitting in the parking lot at work.
Okay. All right. How's the weather up there? Yeah. A little cool? You're going to get snow, I think,
so
soon, right? Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah.
What comes up for you, James, for an outreach librarian taking books all around a community?
There's just so many different groups that need help, and obviously senior citizens, and especially stay-ins. That's one of them. Kids, obviously, another one. Prisons. We have a couple of librarians in the book who deal with prisoners, and I've gone two or three times to prisons to talk to inmates. And one of the sort of sad things about it is especially a lot of young males or young females, and they didn't read much in school, or they weren't good readers, and now they read a lot. And if they had done that in grade school and high school, a lot of them wouldn't be there. Because they would have had more opportunities and more choices and more chances. And that's a huge thing. I have I work with the University of Florida. This is their program, not mine. And the percentage of kids reading at grade level in the country is 43%, which is hideous. But they have a program that can get it up into the 80s, which we're actually, we have it at about 20% of Florida now. Florida actually in the reading area is pretty good. They're up around 50%, which is one of the higher states, and they're number one in terms of highest percentage of Black kids who can read at grade level, and also Latino or Latinx, depending on what your preference is there. But there are just so many groups that need help, and getting kids reading in particular is great, and getting people at home, who can't get out or have trouble getting out is also a big deal. And as I get older, I'm much more sympathetic to that group.
Yes. I want to turn our attention to book challenges. And we see that popping up in the stories that come from your librarians and booksellers.
Uh-huh.
And there's this particular former public librarian in Texas talks about this conflict with her boss and the city government about book censorship, and Suzette Baker refusing to take books off the shelves that people complained were inappropriate for kids. What is your reaction to a story like that?
I tell you, I don't like preaching to the converted. And unfortunately, the way we're talking, most of the people who are going to be listening are going to be the converted. I'm really most interested in talking to people who think book banning is okay. And to that group, talking their language, especially people that theoretically don't want the government in their face on things, I always say, I don't want strangers telling my family members what they should and shouldn't read, which should appeal to people, even people who theoretically are going, book banning is okay. They should go, yeah, right. Or, you take care of your house, I'll take care of my house. Once again, just trying to talk to people who are at least on the fence about this thing. It's a silly thing that's going on. It isn't as dangerous as you make it out to be, but it could be. It could be horrifying. I've had books banned now. Maximum Ride has been banned in a few counties, which is crazy. There's nothing in Maximum Ride. That, you know, I think 30 million kids have read it, and they're okay. They're doing all right. But there's no reason to be. I mean, every once in a while, there probably is a book. Somebody writes a book, How to Be a Nazi at 10 Years Old. Yeah, we probably should ban that. But it should be so rare that a book gets banned. It should almost never happen. And maybe people think that book should be in a library, too. I'd kind of go along with banning that particular one. But
one of your librarian depicts these book challenges coming from a small, noisy, well-organized group of people.
Yes.
Do you find that description kind of accurate to what you're seeing?
It certainly is a big piece of the puzzle. I know in the case of my books, at least in two of the counties, one woman came in. She complained about Maximum Ride. She said it shouldn't be middle schooler shouldn't be reading it. She had never read it. And, you know, the other piece of it is, you know, they talk about, well, the parents have the right. I think the parents do have the right when a kid brings home a book to talk. You know, if an 8-year-old brings home Hunger Games, I think it's fine for you to say, honey, I'm not sure if you're ready for that. Let's talk about it. And I would love parents, all parents, to be that involved with their kids and what they're reading. And more important, what they're doing on the internet or on their phones. Parent involvement, great. Parents dictating what other parents should do, not great.
Rachel sent along an email, says they're a big fan of you. They first read the Maximum Ride series in school, was interested in owning a bookshop at one point in their youth, but gave up that dream as they saw the decline in physical media. Rachel's heard that books and physical media are slowly making a comeback. Do you think that we will see more bookstores opening in the future? And Rachel's wondering, is it a financially smart move to get into this industry?
No, but it's a one. Look, there's a quote. I don't know where it came from, but I've been living by it for the last year and a half or so. And in my case, it's sort of what I am. The projects I'm going to take on or not take on. Like, I just finished completing a book that Michael Crichton had started, and his widow came to me. He's been dead for 12, 13 years now. And his widow came and she said, Michael had started this book and then he died somewhat unexpectedly. Would you like to finish it? And I said, well, I don't know. Let me read it. Let me read what he wrote. And I read what he wrote, and I thought it was really fascinating. And I said to her, yes, I'd like to finish it because I want to know how the hell it turns out, you know. But the quote, which I think is relevant here, is my time here is limited. And I think it's as true for me as it is for 20-year-olds. It may be more important for 20-year-olds. My time here is limited. What can I do most beautifully? You know, and that really is that brings clarity and you think about it, you know. So in terms of starting a bookstore, I think in general, books are doing better now than they did 5-6 years ago. Bookstores are a little better shape than they were, not all, but some. Books are, I think, doing, you know, semi-reasonably right now. But in terms of starting a bookstore, that's a tough one. And that gets down to what can I do most beautifully?
And if that's
what you think it is, then it's worth considering, not as a financial thing. Although some, you know, look, if you really figure it out and you work hard and you can, you know, but it's very difficult. One of the tricks is if you can get, and it's hard work, if you can get a bunch of authors in there a couple a week, especially well-known authors, you can make it and probably do pretty well.
It was so interesting. Yeah, these stories shows just like the hard work that booksellers have, that it's sitting around and getting in reading time when you're running a business like this.
Now, one of the booksellers, which I love the line, she said when she interviews people, you know, a lot of people think you're just going to sit around the store and read books. That's not really true. You work, you have to stack those things. And her line to people that she's interviewing was, do you like to clean toilets? And because that's the reality of it in the store is you're busy. You're that the hand selling part is great. And that's that in almost all cases that drives both the booksellers and the librarians. They love that idea of turning people on to books that they hadn't discovered. And the joy when people come back and go, I love that book that you recommended. That was great.
That's the people part.
But it is
part.
An incredible amount of hard work. That's the
But then
very,
there's
very
the
big
inventory part and all of those
oh my
other
God.
Tasks.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're with bestselling author James Patterson, written hundreds of books spanning genres. His latest one is called The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. Call in with a question. You can share stories about the people who lead you to great books. The number is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're in conversation with prolific wordsmith and bestselling author James Patterson is here. Pays tribute to the people who sell and lend books. He calls their work crucial for our country and that no profession is more noble. Call in with a question. Share comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. James Patterson's book is called The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. James, we heard from Jean called from Eau Claire with a comment. Says their hospital library purchases new books, and so they read your Walk in My Combat Boots. And Jean said it was a great book as their son had joined the Marines 2 years ago, left for training in California, and the book gave Jean a different look on military life. What do you, that there's a hospital library purchase there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, look, there's so many places. We need common sense. We need people to, I give you one, if you go in New York or London or Paris, and a lot of the really great museums there have these big banners over the front door, big, exciting looking banners. And if not every library, but if libraries would put a huge banner over the front door, the free state, really cool looking banners, the free store, the free store, the free store, it would, that's a real come on in kind of thing, which they need to do. If there was a free store in your local mall, the line would be around the block. Everything in here is free. Well, that's what libraries are. Everything in there is free. You got books, you got music, you've got video, you have, well, and it's all free. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's not a place for like, that kind of shush thing, you know, it's a free store. It's, but I think part of it is with stores and whatever, you just go, yeah, this is what we have to do. And it's a no, it is a noble thing to do, but it's more noble if people use the library. It's more noble if people use the bookstore. So they have to be, they don't have to be, but they should consider being a little bit more aggressive in terms of reaching out to people. One of the cool things, it was a library, I'm not sure where she was, but I love the notion of that libraries and bookstores should not be, they aren't political. They shouldn't be political. Mm. You can get books on vegetarianism. You can get books on hunting. You can get books on every religion. You can get books on every different way of looking at the world. And it all works in there all together. Yeah. and in peace.
One of
it's
my,
a good thing.
Yeah. One of my favorite, intersections there was that a bookseller is somewhere between a bartender, a priest, and a therapist. I loved that melding and what that relationship is like. There was also a bookseller who talks about the importance of remaining non-judgmental about people's uh-huh. reading choices.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, are there books that should be read or should we just not care about what people pick up?
I think we should care, and you can help a little bit if you see that somebody has an interest in whatever it is, and they're not necessarily going toward the better examples of that. I think it's fine to to, you know, okay, well, you love baseball, whatever the heck it is, consider this one, because this one is a really, really good baseball book, or whatever, whatever your interest is. And I think that's a great thing. Or trying to get people to stretch. You know, with our son, Jack, our thing was always with Jack is we just kept opening doors. And here's a door. Oh, look what's in here. You know, not saying you should or you shouldn't or whatever. and that worked. It worked reasonably well with him.
Just, you know, those suggestions.
A little bit. If you see somebody's interest or, you know, and if you find that somebody's particularly open, then, you know, what about this kind of thing? You know, and a lot of times with people, you don't really know what you're going to like until you try something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, the trick with this book is going to be getting people to understand that this is a really fun read, because they go, well, I don't know if I want to read a book about librarians. I don't know how. Well, it's going to be interesting if you have an interest in libraries and bookstores, and certainly most people listening probably do. And you know, here's stories that you haven't heard before, and you're going to understand these people in a way that you never had before. And I always love, anytime I read a book or read a movie where I really come to a new understanding, especially if I think I understand and I don't. I mean, that's the thing about when I did with Matt Erisman, that Walk in My Combat Boots. A lot of people think they understand the military, but they don't. And they read the book, and it's not that it's not pro-military or it's just military. Here it is. Here's what it's all about. And it's good for people to understand. It's just understanding is a great thing. We need more of it.
Well,
we need more of people sort of stepping outside of whatever, you know, they set up this iron box that they live in. Step outside it, man, please.
Well, speaking of suggestions and the younger generation, book talk comes up in this, a sector of the social media app TikTok where people talk about the books they enjoy. There's that Alabama bookseller says that they have a hard time keeping titles trending on book talk on the shelves. What is your take on that?
It's good. It's a good thing. I'm not making a comment on TikTok. I don't really know what the pluses and the minuses of TikTok are, honestly. But a plus for sure is that it has turned a lot of, especially, you know, statistically younger women onto books. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for those individuals, and it's a good thing for the stores. Yes, it is selling books, mainly in the area of romantic or romantic comedy. That's okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be judgmental. And if people start reading more, they start branching out a little bit more. You know, we all started with very, you know, movies that were very, very popular. And as we watch more and more and more, our taste widen and broaden, and we're just more open to different kinds of films. And as people read more, they become a little bit more open to different kinds of books and
the possibilities. Yes. James Patterson and the newest one here, The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. Madeline in Green Bay is here. Madeline, hi. What would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to say that most people are not aware that most public libraries have an information desk, and you can call there and ask for a phone number or address to a company just about anywhere. And also, if you want to get some specific information about a certain topic, you just ask for the information desk, and you can get an answer to about any question that you have.
Madeline, I'm grinning because thinking about the librarians I learned who work the information desk, James, they talked about their experiences.
I'm sorry, you're asking me?
Go ahead.
No, absolutely. No, well, yeah, the questions that people have is, some of the questions people have is, it's kind of amazing. Or they'll come up with, you know, well, it's has a blue cover. okay, can you help me out a little bit more? yeah, that kind of thing. And it gets the older you get, like with me, the less information you have to give them. So it's definitely a trip. And there's definitely a lot of humor based around that general area.
I want to circle back to Wisconsin here for a moment. You profile the owner of Mystery Mike's in Indiana, and Mystery Mike, he goes on this book hunt for a collection in Madison, like a deceased professor. And I'm just wondering a little bit more about a story like that and these hidden finds around the country with people's personal collections.
Yeah, well, whatever turns you on. This once again gets down to this thing, what can I do most beautifully? And people have, I mean, one of the great things about libraries, obviously, that's the best place to go other than maybe Google. But libraries are better because you can go deeper there and it's easier to get deeper. But you have a special interest. I mean, obviously, with a lot of these things like heritage and stuff like that, people, they're fascinated with where the hell they came from and what their families were like and stuff like that. And if you have that kind of curiosity, you should live in a library or certainly visit there every week. And then the bookstore, same thing. There's so much information you can get in the bookstore, so many different areas where you can, you know, if that's your interest.
Cheryl from Eau Claire called in to say they love books, of course, your books, but it is sad to see booksellers aren't as prevalent. Cheryl says they're having a hard time finding hard copy books as everything is turning digital. Is there a downturn in hard copies?
I don't think so. I mean, it depends on the city you're in, you know. I mean, it's... there certainly are things like in New York City, there are a heck of a lot less bookstores than there used to be. But I think overall across the country, it's not down much, I don't think. But if your area and there's no bookstores, I mean, even we have a house in Westchester in New York, and which is, it's pretty relatively affluent, and there's very few bookstores, which is really weird to me. So we'll see where it all goes. But it's not terrible, but it could be better.
We're about to feature the Wisconsin bookseller Holly Strong, who is part of this collection. You know, how can people make...
Another Green Bay, yeah.
Yeah. How can people...
Yeah, she's a B&N. That's an interesting thing, because we do have some B&N and some Books A Million employees. And you know what? The whole thing, there used to be this sort of battle... a little bit between like Barnes and Noble and Borders and Indies. And I think that's beginning to go away a little bit. And people are just going, you know what, let's just have people read books. It's all good. And one of the things you'll find about some of the B&N people is they're coming from the same place as the Indies in terms of they want to hand sell. They want to do right by books. They're passionate about books. But I think a lot of the prejudice is, what was the bookstore thing? With Tom Hanks and the movie.
Oh, we're going way back.
Yeah. Well, but that's where you had that big. And in those days, it was
the
fair
big
thing
versus
because
the
Barnes
small.
And Noble was coming
right.
in and trying to knock off indies. But I think now it's more peaceful, and it should be, because bookstores are a good thing. And we it's come up several times here. We definitely need more bookstores.
Mm. Well, James, this has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's terrific. You're a very good host, you are.
I appreciate it. James Patterson, best-selling author, written numerous thrillers along with nonfiction books. Latest one on sale Monday, The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians, True Stories of the Magic of Reading. And just ahead, we talk with one of the booksellers featured in Patterson's Tribute, store manager in Green Bay, and you can join the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here in the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A Texas librarian defines book joy as matching people with the books that will bring them the most happiness. And a new book captures the passion of booksellers and librarians in their own words, features a bookseller in Green Bay. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Holly Strong is an area manager at Barnes & Noble in Green Bay. Her story is part of James Patterson's new book, The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. Holly, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah. So what was it like for you to read about yourself in the words of James Patterson?
It was very surreal. I mean, no, like, it's interesting because as a bookseller, you know how much goes into writing books. Like, you hear authors talk about their labor of love, but this process started like over 2 years ago. So to actually hold the physical book and see the words that he crafted with my interview was just so interesting and awesome.
Can you give us a bit of a preview of your story and what you said?
Sure. I mean, I talk about how I became a bookseller at Barnes & Noble. I've always wanted to work in books. I either wanted to be a teacher or work in books, and books are just my passion. So I talk about how I kind of became a bookseller. And I talk about some of my really awesome customer experiences, especially with some of my young adult customers, which I think is a community that really needs books more than most.
You talk about helping this young person who you found crying in your bookstore, and you told them that reading can help them comfort, you know, bring comfort because many other people who have felt the same way you do now. How does reading help people find that common ground?
I mean, I think there's a lot of ways reading can help with that. I mean, you're going to be able to see other people's experiences. And if you don't have anyone in your own life that is going through the same things or has the same feelings towards something, there's always going to be a book that allows you to recognize, I'm not alone in this. And there are people that have experienced this and people who have gone through it, or people that can help me recognize that I'm not so different after all. And, you know, I'm part of this amazing world, and it's just amazing how these books can bring people back to a sense of self and a sense of value.
Can you talk more about these young readers and the YA Readers Club that you've worked to establish?
Oh, that was so fun. That was my very first store I ever worked at. It was actually out in Canton, Connecticut. I heard the caller from Connecticut earlier. And I noticed in that store, we were really starting to get young adult books and kind of bring them to the forefront of the store. But we didn't really have any activities for that group. And they're a hard group to get to show up for activities. But I really wanted to try. So we started a book club, and I met some amazing people. They're adults now, and I'm still in touch with a couple of them. They're great people, and we've really actually Maximum Ride by James Patterson was one of our selections. I remember that being one of our picks. And it just created this safe space for them to really, again, like, find themselves. And, you know, that's kind of the age where you either really find your love of reading or you could really lose it. And to give them a safe space to be like, let's talk about books, let's talk about what you love, and like, talk about what your interests are, is just amazing and so fun.
I think what I learned through a number of these stories is that book selling isn't like any other type of regular retail selling where you go through a line and you get your things and you leave. Can you kind of explain how it stands apart from other retail?
I was actually just talking with some of my coworkers about this because I never wanted to work retail. That wasn't obviously a thing that I grew up saying, I want to work retail. But book retail is so different because the customer connection is just so much more. And I mean, we get to really help impact people in a way that I feel like a lot of retailers don't. And it's just a completely different experience to me. Yeah, you have the day-to-day of cleaning bathrooms and doing the things that all retailers have to do. But it doesn't feel like selling because to me, you're really just helping them discover something that's going to either teach them or give them a story to fall in love with and kind of escape something. Or, you know, there's just so many ways that books impact. To me, it doesn't feel like retail.
We're talking with Holly Strong, Barnes & Noble store manager in Green Bay, featured in James Patterson's newest book, The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. And you can join the conversation. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Holly, what do you make of James' observation that there isn't this tug of war really that much anymore between the chain bookstores, the larger bookstores, and these indie bookstores?
I mean, I guess personally, I was never part of that, if there was that tug of war. As a customer, I shop all bookstores, and I love going to indie bookstores, but I also feel like there's so much value and necessity to chain bookstores because they can hold a lot more stock, they can give a lot more options, and it keeps the availability of more books like in the community, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's so much value in indie bookstores and they bring so much to communities, but I also think, you know, large scale bookstores just have many things that they can offer that sometimes smaller bookstores just can't. And I mm-hmm. think they both have value in community and they both add to community. So I personally don't have any sort of war between either or. I love them both and I think they're both valuable.
How much latitude do you have in choosing what's on your shelves?
Oh, it's awesome. So we actually have tons of freedom at Barnes & Noble for what we carry. Each one of our stores, kind of like an independent bookstore in a lot of ways, we get to kind of decide what books we're facing out, and our staff gets to make their, you know, staff recommendation cards. And we have folks that we can actually, you know, call up and say, we want to, you know, do this kind of display. What kind of books do you think would fit that? Because our community is really interested in this. Or, you know, if you go up to Green Bay, like, where's our Packers section?
I was about where's, to say, you know, where's the Packers section?
Yeah, because really it's not a one size fits all in bookstores. It's not like when you go into a Target and you know the pattern and the routine of like what you're going to see everywhere. Bookstores really should reflect their community. And that's what we try to do.
That's interesting. What do you make of your, you know, the workers and who come to be part of your business? What brings them in to be part of your staff?
I mean, it's usually they just love books, right? They're just excited to talk to someone about books. And it's funny because I heard when you were talking to James about the woman asking, like, can you clean the bathroom? Because there are a lot of people who show up and they're like, I just love to read. And they think that's what you do all day, but there is a lot more to it. So interviews are always interesting, but it always comes back to, I just love to read and I want to be a part of that world.
And what is your hot take on Book Talk, the community on TikTok? How influential is it?
It's crazy. So in my 17 years of book selling, I've never seen something impact an audience so quickly and so much. It was like a tidal wave that hit, but it was one of the best things that could have happened to, you know, to the publishing industry, to readership. And kind of like James alluded to, yeah, there's a lot of like that pop, like romance and things that people have been interested in, but now it's transitioning into fantasy. It's transitioning into other, you know, styles of books. So it's not a tool that's just going to help one, you know, type of author, one type of publisher. It's really expanding out and it's amazing to see.
In our final moments together, are you feeling optimistic for bookstores in the future?
I do. I mean, I feel like a community without a bookstore just is lacking a soul. So I think it's crucial that we keep doing that heavy lifting and hard work to get kids reading, to get young adults reading, and to really help them, you know, find that passion throughout life and find the right door to open to give them a story they'll love and, you know, discover that that really can impact their life in such a positive way.
Holly, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Holly Strong is store manager at Barnes & Noble in Green Bay. Her story is part of James Patterson's newest book, The Secret Lives of Booksellers and Librarians. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.